This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Mr. Chairman and my dear brothers and sisters, I read to you a very brief verse from the Holy Quran. Inna ad-deena indallahi al-islam. Most certainly the religion, the deen acceptable in the sight of Allah is Islam. I'm sure all of you have heard this verse before. Inna ad-deena indallahi al-islam. But where will you find it in the Quran? It's difficult for us non-Arabs. There may be a few Arabs here who might be very conversant with Allah's kalam. They might be able to pinpoint at any given time the place, the ayah, the surah, just like that. But the bulk of the non-Arabs, we who are consulting the Arabic Quran, the Mashhaf, very difficult. So, if you have a translation like this particular one I have in my hand, this particular one was translated by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. It was first printed from Lahore in 1935. Now this translation, in this particular one, if you want to find this verse, if I told you that this ayah is in Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 19. Now where will you find Imran? This particular one, at the end of this volume, is an index. A very comprehensive index, just like a dictionary. So you look under I for Imran and it will tell you chapter number 3. So 3 is easy to find because every page is numbered. Imran, ayah number 3. Surah number 3. And once you find surah number 3, to find verse number 19 is again very easy. So it is a very good practice. When people give you references from the Holy Quran, you take a little trouble and go home and check it up for yourself. Not that you distrust the speaker. But once you verify it, you look at it again in your Quran at home with your own eyes, and you read it and you understand it, you will be able to reproduce it. It will become your inheritance, part of your own knowledge. That's a recommendation. And this translation, I'm very happy to see, is available from the Islamic study group. At the entrance, they were selling these Qurans, the same by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. It has so many advantages. I'm not getting any commission. I assure you, wallah, no commission. See, this particular one, translation, it has an ayah by ayah translation, verse by verse. You start from the very beginning, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, translation. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, most gracious, most merciful. Malik Yawmiddin, the master of the day of judgment. Ayah by ayah translation. So if you keep on consulting this translation, over a period, passively you will happen to understand even the Arabic. You know what each ayah means, you'll understand. Though you might not be able to speak Arabic, but you'll be able to understand. Advantages. Then it has a very comprehensive commentary, tafsir. And a volume of this magnitude, about 2,000 pages. For here, 275 rupees, I think it's cheap. 2,000 pages. I don't think there's another book in your country you can buy 2,000 pages for 275 rupees. It's yours. You know, you must avail yourself, improve your English. And for your children who are studying English, they will not have to read Shakespeare or Milton to improve the English one. Wallah, the English is so superb. Westerner, when they read it, they can't believe that an Oriental, a man from the East, would have written it. It seems that his English is also like a new inspiration. It is not. But it seems like a new inspiration in English. It's all yours. Have access to it. Now from this I read to you this ayah, Inna Deena Indallahi Islam. So most certainly the religion, the deen acceptable in the sight of Allah is Islam. This is according to the topic advertised in this morning's newspaper of yours, the Daily News. We have the Daily News. I was given in the aeroplane when I was coming from Mali. They gave me this in the Air Lanka aeroplane. And I read it, I saw a small advert saying Islam. Ahmad Didat will speak on Islam. Though we can expand upon it, Islam is a vast subject. It had to be given that way because your newspapers, they wouldn't allow us to advertise paying money through your noses, and yet they will not allow you to advertise Christ in Islam. You see, that is our Christ. What right have you to say Christ in Islam? Not knowing that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is mentioned as Masih, Messiah, Christ in the Quran. And we accept him, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, as the Christ. But they say this is our privilege. They will not advertise Christ in Islam. Your newspaper, you pay them, they won't allow you. This is the amount of freedom you have, religious freedom. Alhamdulillah. Right. So the subject advertised was Islam. So I said, now, Allah says the religion acceptable in the sight of Allah is Islam. And again Allah says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. That if they want a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from them. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And they will be in the hereafter of the losers. You want another way? Then the way Allah has given you in the deen of Islam, it will not be accepted from you, and you will be the loser in the hereafter. So the question arises, what about the other religions? Well, we can analyze the other religions. There are in the world today two main groups of religions. One is called the Aryan religions, and the other set is called the Semitic religions. Among the Aryan religions, we can count Hinduism, Zoroastrianism. They are called Aryan religions. Among the Semitic religions, we have Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. These three, they have a common background. They all three go back to Father Abraham, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this evening, for lack of time, this time is limited. No matter how much time you have, it's still limited for this vast subject. We will deal more specifically with these Semitic religions, Judaism, Christianity and Islam. But Allah says there is only Islam. So where comes Judaism? Where comes Christianity? Allah says there is nothing like that. And really speaking, there is nothing like Judaism and there is nothing like Christianity. The teaching of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the teaching of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Moses, Jesus and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam was Islam. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam didn't teach Judaism. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam didn't teach Christianity. This is according to the evidence that we have in our hands. The Christian and Jewish holy scriptures, these here. This is called the Holy Bible. This Bible is divided into two parts. One part, the major section is called the Old Testament, and the newer part, smaller part, is called the New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament. Everything before Jesus is old, everything after Jesus is new. Now in these, both this old and new, the word Judaism is not there and the word Christianity is not there. Believe me. See, Allah names his deen Islam in the Quran, in his own book. The word Judaism is not there, the word Christianity is not there. This is the Bible. This is an encyclopedia of 66 books. This is of the Protestants. The Roman Catholics, 73 books. But in the 73 books and the 66 books of the Protestants, the word Judaism is not there and the word Christianity is not there. You can put your neck on the block before anybody says, come on, show me in your Bible where your religion is called Judaism or where it is called Christianity. There is no such thing as Judaism, there is no such thing as Christianity. So what about that religion taught by Hazrat Musa alayhi salam? What was it? We say it was Islam. You see, if Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Moses, the holy prophet Moses, if he was alive, or if we can see him, you know, in the hereafter, meet him in Jannah. Assalamu alaikum, ya Musa. He says, tell me, Musa alayhi salam, peace be on you. He said, now, what is the name of your religion? You will not expect him to say Judaism, because this word Judaism was never heard by him in his lifetime. He never heard it. In his so-called Torah, this is what the Christians say, the first five books of this Bible, called Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, they say this is the Torah. Torah in Hebrew, Torah in Arabic, which means the law. In these five books, the name Judaism is not there. In the Mishnah, in the Talmud, the secondary books, like the Hadiths, the word Judaism is not there. So we ask Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, what is your religion? I expect him to say that my religion is a religion of total submission to God's will. And one word for that, in the Arabic language, is Islam. One word for that. A religion of total submission to the will of God. Because this word Judaism was invented long after Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. You see, when the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam, the 12 tribes, when they conquered Palestine, Palestine was divided among the tribes. Different tribes were given different portions of land. And that portion of land given to the children of Judah, from which we get the word Yahudi, Judah. That portion of land was called Judea. The land occupied by the children of Judah was called Judea. And the people from the outside, they said that the religion followed by the children of Judah in Judea is Judaism. People said from the outside. And the people liked the term, so they adopted it. But it's not in the Torah, it's not in the Talmud, it's not in the Mishnah. It is a word unheard of by Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Now see, when we speak like this, when I am explaining to you, the Christian who is there, he says, look, you're attacking my religion. The Jew says, I'm attacking your religion. I said, look, I'm only presenting facts to you that this term is not in your book. It is your invention. It is your concoction. That's all. You tell me, prove it otherwise. I'm prepared to correct myself, apologize to you all. The word Christianity, the word Christ, the word Christian, the word Christianity, never heard by Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Jesus Christ never heard the word. He never heard the word Jesus. He never heard the term Christ. Can you imagine such a thing? Jesus never heard anybody calling him Jesus. In his lifetime, nobody called him Jesus. Nobody called him Christ. I said, well, where did you get all these things from? I said, bring your bishops and your popes. Come, come, talk to me. Talk to me. I'm telling you, he never heard the word Jesus, he never heard the word Christ, he never heard the word Christianity in his lifetime. What was his name? We say Isa. Hebrew form, this is the Arabic form, Isa. Hebrew, Esau. That was his name in his own mother tongue, Esau. Classical Yeshua. When he was born, his mother called him Esau, not Jesus. Yes. But you see, the Christians didn't like a Jewish name. Esau sounds Jew. So they want to make it sound European, Roman, Greek. So they Latinize it by adding J. Jesus sounds like a European, sounds like a Roman, sounds like a Greek. Esau sounds Jew. Isa sounds Arabic. You see, this is the sickness. People have sicknesses of changing names of people, trying to transform them to sound like the names of the ruling race. Inferiority complexes. We all have it. We Muslims also have it. You see, in my country, we have good names like Yusuf, so we call our son Joe. Joe. Ibrahim, say Abraham. You want to make it sound like a European. Abraham. Fatima, we say Tima. Khadija, we say Dija. Well, this is inferiority complexes. These early Christians had the sickness of transmuting names. Where there were no J's, they put in J's. Yusuf, they say Joseph. Yaqub, they say Jaqub. Yohanna, there's a John. Where there's no J, Isa, says Jesus. J, J, J. It's called a J sickness. It's a sickness, J sickness. In my country, it's in my country, I don't know about here in Sri Lanka. In my country, if you go against the robo, if you cross the street, when the light is against you, in my country, the policeman on the other side, they can stop you and charge you for jaywalking. When you just walk like that, you know, that's called jaywalking. Now, the Christians have walked jaywalking into people's names. Where there's no jay, jay, jay. But nobody can judge them. Nobody can judge them. So, his name was Isa. They Latinized as Jesus. And he said, I am the Masih. In Arabic, Messiah. In Hebrew, translated into Greek, Christos. They took off the os, shortening it, they say Christ. But Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he never heard the word Jesus, he never heard the word Christ, he never heard the word Christian, he never heard the word Christianity. So if Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was here with us today, or in his second coming, if we have the good fortune of shaking his hands, we can ask him, Ya Isa, what is your religion? I'm sure he will not say Christianity. If he said that, you can ask him, what church you belong to? Yes, what church? If you are a Christianity as your religion, what church do you belong to? Are you a Roman Catholic? Are you an Anglican? Are you a Presbyterian? Are you a Lutheran? Are you a Jehovah's Witness? What are you? A Seventh-day Adventist? What are you? Ridiculous. We agree. Ridiculous. I expect him to say that my religion is a religion of total submission to the will of God. Will of Allah. And one word for that in the Arabic language is Islam. So, the teaching of Musa alayhi salam, the teaching of Isa alayhi salam, and the teaching to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Islam. Inna deena, inna Allah al-Islam. and in the fundamentals of the teachings of these three great prophets, there is not an iota of difference, not one jot, one tittle, not one little dot difference between the teachings of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and through our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not one jot, one tittle of difference. You see, the first commandment, awwal kalima, the first kalima that Allah gave through Hazrat Musa alayhi salam in the Hebrew language, in the language of the Jew, this is what it sounds like. So Shama Israel Adonai Elohai Adonai Echad, which means, hear Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Some 1300 years after Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet Moses, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is on the scene. He is trying to reclaim his people, correct his people, reform his people, the Jews. And a learned man of the Jew comes to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, comes to Jesus. I can't help saying Jesus, because that's how people generally will remember now. They come to him, according to the Gospel of Saint Mark, chapter 12, verse 29. They come to him and they say, he says, Master, in the Hebrew language, Rabbi, saying Maulana, Sheikh Sahib, Maulvi Sahib, Master, what commandment is the first of all? What is the awwal kalima, the first kalima? And Jesus answers and says unto him in the Hebrew language, Shema Israel Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He repeated word for word what was given by Hazrat Musa alayhi salam 1300 years before, without the change of a dot. Not even one nukta. Between the difference between the teaching of Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, not that difference of one nukta, one dot. Some 600 years after Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Medina, and a Christian deputation comes from Najran, and they have a dialogue in the Masjid al-Nabawi for 3 days and perhaps 3 nights, discussion taking place. And during the course of this discussion, dialogue, the spokesman for the Christian poses the question, among so many other things. So, all right, now tell us, Muhammad, what is your concept of God? And our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is made to say, Qul huwallahu ahad. Say, He is Allah, the one and only. Qul huwallahu ahad. What did he say? Ahad, one and only. What did Isa alayhi salam say? Ikhad, meaning one and only. What did Musa alayhi salam say? He said, Ikhad, meaning one and only. What is the difference? Ahad, Ikhad, Ikhad. What's the difference? It's the same word meaning the same thing. You see, Arabic and Hebrew are sister languages. They're identical. It's like a dialect, one dialect of the other. Ahad, you write in Arabic, so Alif, Ha, Da. If you want to make it ikhad, on the ha you put a nukta. It's a ha, it becomes kha. Ha becomes kha. So, ahad, you want to make it ah, ikhad, put a nukta. That's all. That is in writing. But in the meaning, not the tiniest bit of difference. In the fundamentals of the teachings of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and the teaching of Islam, not an iota of difference according to the teachings of the prophets. But today, we are at variance. He still says, Qul huwallahu ahad. The Christian also says that God is one and only. He says that. But when you ask him closely about this one God, he will tell you that this God is a triune God. So what is that? You see, he's three in one. He's one, but he's three in one. Yes. You see, he believes in what is called the Holy Trinity. He's one God, but he's three in one. And he tells, he reads in his catechism, in his formula of faith, he will tell you, he reads it. He reads that the Father is God, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. But they are not three gods, but one God. No, that's what he says. And he continues in his catechism. I'm reading it, I read all this. Because you just can't talk out of thin air. You must have some facts what you're talking. Therefore the guys are terrified, they don't want to talk to me. I said, come, talk to me. I said, where did you get this from? Come, talk to me. Allah is telling us to call them. You know that? We are reading it in the Quran. Qul, Allah says, tell them, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, O Jews and Christians, Ta'alal, come. إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. That will come to common terms as between us and you. Let us get onto a common platform. Let's come to some understanding. About what? Allah tells us. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And that we associate no partners with Him. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And that we do not take from among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. But if they turn back, tell them that we are Muslims. We have submitted our wounds to the will of Allah. So we say, He is the one and only Allah. We say, yeah, but He's three in one. So Allah tells us to tell Him, tell them, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَا. Don't say Trinity. إِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. This is, stop it, it will be better for you. إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. For your Allah is one Allah. He's not three in one. He's not one in three. Did you tell them that? Did you tell them that? 1,400 years, you reading it? أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْ تَعَالَوْ. All right, you got a good excuse. We Indian Muslims or Sinhalese Muslims, non-Arab Muslims, have a good excuse. He says, you know, we read the Quran, we don't understand. We don't know what we're reading. We read for sawab. Allah will give you sawab. Blessing. But directions is instructions. Who follows the instructions? Because we don't know what the instructions are. Who understands the instructions? But I'm asking the Arab, what are you reading? You Arab. Allah says, tell them ta'ala. Did you call them ta'ala? No. Allah says, tell them, وَلَا تَقُولُوا سَلَاسَ. Don't say Trinity. Did you tell them? No. They're living with you for 1,400 years. In Egypt, there are 6 million Coptic Christians. I said, did you tell them? وَلَا تَقُولُوا سَلَاسَ. Did you tell them, لَكَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Whosoever says that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is God, is making kufr. Did you tell them? He says, no. I said, why not? This is your awwal farz. First duty of the Muslim is to share his faith. Propagate the faith. You haven't done it 1,400 years. That's why you find yourself in this mess. Everybody wants to use you as a punching bag. Everybody wants to use you as a doormat. They want to make nest in your head because you allowed it to happen. This is not the role of the Muslim. Allah has in store for you. So the guy says, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. But that not three gods, but one God. He continues, the Father is Almighty, the Son is Almighty, and the Holy Ghost is Almighty, but they are not three Almighty, but one Almighty. No, what? This is what they say. The Englishman, the American, he is a master of his language. But this is what he's telling you. He will tell you, the Father is a person, the Son is a person, and the Holy Ghost is a person, but they are not three persons, but one person. Yes, I'm reading what they write. Every church, except the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'll deal with them if we have time. So, look, we are tantalized by the man's language. You see, look, this is an Englishman talking, person, 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 but not three person, but one person. You think it makes sense? No? It's nonsense. Well, it's nonsense. Then how? Person, 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 but not three person, but one person. You think that's English? That's what you think. That's what I thought. I think it's English. It's not English. It's gibberish. Allah, it's gibberish. You ask him, what is a person? Look, you don't have to be very clever. You don't have to be a DD, Doctors of Divinity. Or DD, didact disciple, somebody said. DD, didact disciple. You don't have to be. Simple, basic knowledge you have of the language, you ask the Englishman. Or the black Englishman, you know, who thinks English is his mother tongue, but he's a black man like us. Ask him. He says, what is a person in your language? I said, you and your two other brothers are identical triplets. You know, triplets, three children born one time. They all look identical. It happens sometimes. You can't make out the difference. And sometimes they have the same hairstyle and same mustaches like Hitler. Everybody is the same. You can't make out the difference. But I say, if one guy commits murder, can you hang the other? And he said, no. I said, why not? They all look alike. Why can't you take one of them and hang him? He said, no. He is a different person. I said, what makes him a different person? He says, personality. Every person has his own personality. Makes him different. You can't. Though he looks alike, you can't hang him. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are entirely different. They don't look alike even. You ask him. I ask. I said, look. When you say in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, This is the formula. When we start everything, we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. So the Christian starts. He gets married, or he gets born, he is baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When he gets married in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a fact. When he is dead, when he is buried in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I said, now look, when you say in the name of the Father, are you thinking of the Son? He says, no. Unless the mind is diseased. When you say Father, you know, like old Father Christmas, Santa Claus, sitting on some planet with his feet dangling onto the earth as his footstool, the heaven as his canopy, the loving Father in heaven, millions and millions of times bigger than man, but something like a man. That's the picture they have. In the mind, mental picture. When you say the Son, I said, what are you thinking of? A prize bull or a horse wagon? What? No, a handsome young man. They say, Jesus Christ. You have seen some films maybe, The Day of Triumph, or Jesus of Nazareth, and so on. They have the films about Jesus Christ. You see the films, you know, one of them, Jeffrey Hunter was acting, blonde hair, blue eyes, golden hair, immaculately dressed. Yes, you have a mental idea of what Jesus was. He doesn't look like an Indian. He doesn't look like an Eskimo. He doesn't look like a Chinese. He looks like a European. Yes, every picture of Jesus Christ is a Europeanized picture. He looks more like a German. He looks more like an Englishman. He doesn't look like a Jew. Jew with a polynose. You know, the Jews have a tendency. Every nation has certain characteristics. They have this polynose, you know, the hook nose. Golda Meir had it. Nasser also had it. Our Nasser of Egypt, he also had a big nose, you know. Polynose, you can have polynose. So they don't show Jesus like that, with the polynose, because then everybody was laughing. Shylock. So they said, no, you give him a straight nose, like a Norwegian or a Swede or a German or an Englishman. Yeah, not like a Jew. So you know what Jesus looks like. Not an African, not a Chinese, not an Eskimo, not a Sinhalese. God the Holy Ghost. This is, you know, something that came like a dove. You read in the Bible. Like a dove. You know, pigeon came from heaven when Jesus was baptized in the river Jordan by John the Baptist. Or something that came in flames of fire at Pentecost. I said, the picture is not very vivid, but the picture is there. I said, you have three distinct mental pictures. The Father looks different, the Son looks different, and the Holy Ghost looks different. In your mind. And howsoever hard you try, you can never superimpose these three pictures and create one. There'll ever be three in your mind. Try! You can never get a single picture. You, this young man I'm pointing at, his father and his grandfather. If we had pictures taken, we can get the negatives and create a common denominator of those three negatives. And they'll look like him. They'll look like him. His picture negative, his father's picture negative, and his grandfather's picture negative. We get the three negatives and superimpose those three negatives, you'll get a common negative that look like him. You tell me. But Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, never. They'll ever be three. You can never put them. So little wonder Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةٌ. Don't say Trinity, إِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. This is topic, it will be better for you. إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. For your Allah is one Allah. Who taught this Trinity? Did Jesus teach you so? Wallah, he didn't. That the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. That they are not three gods, but one God. Did Jesus say that? Is it written in the Bible so? No. The closest, the nearest to what is this Holy Trinity, you will find in the Bible. In a book, this is 66 books, there is a book called the First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, where you read that there are three that they witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, meaning Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Nearest to what they are preaching, the Holy Trinity. That Holy Trinity, what the verse I read to you, is in the Roman Catholic Bible. It's here. It is in the Protestant Bible called the Authorized King James Version of the Bible. In every language of the world, this is the Bible that's translated. In the Sinhalese language, this one. In the Arabic, this one. In Gujarati, this one. In Zulu, this one. The King James Version. The Trinity is there. But today, this Holy Bible, called the Revised Standard Version, they threw it out as a fabrication. They threw it out as a fabrication, as an adulteration, as an interpolation. Who threw it out? Muslims? Jews? Hindus? Who? 32 scholars of the highest eminence, backed by 50 cooperating denominations, they brought this Bible into being. They go to the most ancient manuscripts from which they derive this. And they say, this was a fabrication. They threw it out without any ceremony, no notes even given, just threw it out. You know what? We must congratulate the Christians. Allah is telling us to tell them, وَلَا تَقُولُوا سَلَاسَ. You didn't do it. They did it. Amazing. You didn't do your job. They did it for you. Shouldn't you congratulate them? So, you see, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he didn't teach the Trinity. On the contrary, when the man is asking him, Master, what commandment is the first of all? And Jesus answers and says unto him, the first is, not for there are three that they witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Nothing like that. The first is, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Kul Huwallahu Ahad. Same. So we are asking, ask the learned man of Christendom, why did this learned Jew, in the Bible, in the Gospel of Saint Mark, he is described as a scribe, being the learned man. Likaparadi, one who is well learned, scribe. Why would a learned man go to another learned man, acknowledging that he is learned, saying, Master Maulana, like you going to the Maulana, you know, the sheikh of the Juma Masjid, and you ask him, Maulana, what is the Kalima? Why don't you know? Why would you ask him such a question? Shouldn't you know that? The Kalima, Shahada, don't you know? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Don't you know? Why would you go and ask the Imam of the Juma Masjid? Maulana Sahib, what is it? Kalima? He'll ask you, say, look, your little ones at home, don't they know it? You fool, you're asking me, don't ask your little ones. You're suckling at home, they should be able to tell you that. Wasting my time? Don't you know? For 40 years you're coming and making salat behind me and you don't know the Kalima, you're asking me what is the Kalima? Sure, he'll retort like that. You blame him for that? 40 years you're doing salat behind him, doing muqtadi, you are a muqtadi, following him in his salat, and now you can ask him, Alisa, what is the Kalima? What kind of a fool are you? This learned man, the Bible says he's a scribe, a learned man. He goes to Jesus and says, what is the first commandment? I'm asking, why did he ask that? Ask the question, why would a learned man go to another learned man and ask him the simplest of questions which any Jewish child could have answered 2,000 years ago? Any Jewish child. Our children also, little ones, should be able to read the Kalima, no? Then why would you go to an alim, allama, sheikh, sheikh al-Azhar, and go and ask him, ya sheikh, what is the Kalima? He said, are you mad? Are you Muslim? Why did this learned man ask Jesus such a question? They said, oh, He was testing him. I said, what? Did he lose his memory? Has he got any reason to think that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam lost his memory? He's testing him whether he still remembers what he learned in childhood as a baby. Scandal. But I said, you see, if you want to test him, means try him out, you want to make a fool of him, he will not allow you to do that. This is the record in the Bible. He will not allow anybody to make a fool of him. If you try to catch him out, he will catch you out. You want to make a fool of him, he will make a fool of you. Here in this book, in the Bible. I said, you see, the Jews, they came to Jesus. You read again and again, they come to him, asking him questions, actually riddles, poses, trying to catch him out, make a fool of him. They come to him, they say, Master, in Hebrew, Rabbi, Maulana Sahib, Maulvi Sahib, Maulana Sahib, Rasha, must we pay tribute to Caesar or not? Must we pay taxes or not to the government? This was not a question. The man was trying to catch him out, wanted to get him embroiled. You see, if he said, you must pay your taxes to the government, they look after you, there's a police force looking after you, guarding you, they're improving the roads for you, so many things, protection they give you, you must pay taxes. This thing doesn't run on pressure, governments don't run on pressure, you must pay your taxes. What is due to the government, give it to them. Now, if he said that, he would tell the other Jews that this is not the Messiah we're waiting for. Messiah, he wants to liberate us from the Roman rule. And this man is telling us to pay taxes. He is a stooge of the government. You going to follow a man like that? No good. Reject him. If he said, don't pay, they won't pay. So when he is caught, he said, look, our Messiah says don't pay. So he gets into conflict with the government. Either way he loses. Heads I win, tails you lose. He is between the devil and the deep. What is he going to do? This is being caught out. It's not a question. The man is not seeking information. He wants to make a fool of him. Either way, if you say pay, then you're not our Messiah. You're not the Messiah we're waiting for. If you say don't pay, they don't pay. Getting into trouble with the government, this is our leader who's telling us not to pay. So he gets into conflict with the government. Either way, he loses. So Jesus beautifully gets out of the trouble, difficulty. So he said, where is the tribute money, tax money? Where? So they show him a coin. I got this from South Africa. They show him a coin. He said, whose inscription is this? Whose picture is this? He said, Caesar's, in the ruler of the time. So he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. What belongs to the guy, give it to him. Is his picture, give it to him. So he gets out of the difficulty. He didn't answer the question. He's getting out of the difficulty. You try that on me. I might also try and see if there is some way. I can also do the same. It's allowed. I'll be following his sunnah of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Get out of the difficulty. They come to him again. This in the Bible we read. This time they bring a woman with him. With them, a woman. And they bring this woman and there's a master again. Maulana Sahib. Sheikh Sahib. This woman, we caught her in the act of adultery, zina. She was doing zina and we caught her. Where is the man? Sure, if they caught her with doing zina, the man must be there to do zina. But no, the man is not there, he's free. Only the woman. Imagine, there's only the woman. If you caught her in the act, doing the thing, then surely you catch the man and the woman. He said, no. The man can go free. He's a woman. What must we do to her? Again, they put him into a dilemma. They don't want to seek information. They want to catch him out. So, what must we do to her? Now, if he said stone her, because according to the book of Leviticus, that is Genesis, Exodus, the third book of the Bible, the adulterer and the adulteress, man and woman, both the zanis, must be stoned to death according to the Holy Bible. So if he said, stone her to death, don't stone her to death, kill her. And adultery was not a capital crime in the Roman Empire. And nor is it a capital crime in any Christian nation on earth. It is not even a crime to commit adultery. Do you know that? Adultery is no crime in any Christian nation on earth. Adultery is no crime. In my country is no crime. But immorality. Immorality means if you go and commit with a white woman, you can go to jail. A white man going with a black woman, he can go to jail. But white man and white woman commit adultery, halal. Black man and black woman, halal, jail. No Christian nation on earth, mark my words, there's not a Christian nation on earth where adultery, zina, is a crime. Starting from Rome. They'd inherited the crime, so now they want to know from Jesus. What must we do with this woman? If it's a stone her, they'll stone her. Kill her. And it's a crime to kill a person. It's not because it's not breaking the law. So they said, why did you kill this woman? He said, our Messiah, Christian, our Messiah, Masih. So he's in trouble with the government. This is, we are ruling. The Romans say, you, where you come from, you Jew? You are a separate people, you have in your own way, you'll hang him. So he gets caught. If he says, let her go, then this is not a man of God, because God tells us in his book, in the Torah, that the adulterer and the adulterer will be stoned to death. And he says he's the man of God, and he says, let her go. So he's not the Messiah we were waiting for. Either way he loses. Heads I win, heads you lose. Either way he loses. What is he to do? So they're trying to catch him out. He's a clever man, very clever. He won't allow anybody to make a fool of him. So, he says, let him who is free from sin cast the first stone. Those who has committed no sin, let him start stoning this woman. And so saying, he started scribbling in the sand. He sat down on the ground and started scribbling. And it's a natural tendency, man. If somebody is doing something, you want to know what he's doing. No? You want to know, what is he writing? My theory, I'm asking for the Christians to contradict me. I said, my theory is he was writing combinations of names. He's writing. The guy who was watching over his shoulder, he was a Joseph, for example. So you have Joseph and Mary. That guy gets a message that I'm Joseph, I committed adultery with Mary. Another one. The guy is looking over his shoulder, John. So John and Elizabeth. John committed adultery with Elizabeth. So that's me. Out he goes. One by one. By prophetic knowledge or by coincidence, you know, he's scribbling combinations, one by one. That's me. Everybody's gone. So he looks up. He says, woman, where are thine accusers, the people who accuse? Where are they? He says, they're much all gone. He says, go, sin no more, don't commit sin, go. But they were trying to catch him out. So he catches them out. Now, this learned man, called a scribe, the learned man, comes to Jesus and said, Master, what commandment is the first of all? If this man was trying to be clever, he would have said, you fool, you don't know, you're a scribe. Like the professor of mathematics in your school, professor of mathematics in Zahira College. When Einstein visits, if he had come here, Einstein, you know, the master mathematician, he came to Sri Lanka, and this, your master of mathematician is asking him, what is 2 plus 2? Silly for your master of mathematics to ask this master mathematician, what is 2 plus 2? Unless, what he's actually doing is trying to show Einstein that somewhere in the fundamental he has gone wrong in his calculations. It makes sense. It's 2 plus 2 means that you went off certain placement, simple thing like that, you didn't get it right. You know, you had the wrong combinations. Unless it's trying to show the man something wrong. You can say, well, you know, sir, what is 2 plus 2? Implying that, look, you went off somewhere. Not that he doesn't know. Not that Einstein doesn't know. That Einstein lost his memory. So now, the question again. Master, what commandment is the first of all? The reason for that is, this man, as well as other people, had heard Jesus preaching. And when he was preaching, he was not preaching like the other Jews. The other Jews, when they preached, made wa'az, lectures, they spoke like this. It is written, Moses said this. It is written, Isaiah said this. It is written, Ezekiel said this. That's how they spoke. Jesus says, but I say unto you, it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh upon a woman for lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. But I say unto you, I'm telling you this, listen to me. You heard all those things before, that's all right. But now I'm telling you this. Again, it has been said by them of old time, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do this not evil. He who strikes you in the right cheek, give him the other. It has been said by them of old time, that whosoever puts away his wife, let him give her a bill of divorcement. But I say unto you, whosoever puts away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever marries her that is divorced committed adultery. You see, again and again, but I say unto you, but I say, I am telling you this, I am telling you this. Listen to me. Now, when a man speaks like that, it creates the impression that he's brought a new religion. And if he's brought a new religion, then his kalima, the awwal kalima, must also be new. Different. It sounds he's talking something different from the others. And it sounds as if he's brought a new religion. For a new religion, you need a new awwal kalima, the new shahada. So now the question is clear. Master. The question really is, Master, I know the first commandment, and I know you know the first commandment, and I know every Jewish child knows the first commandment. But Master, according to you, in the context of your preaching, what is the first commandment? And Jesus understood that this is the implication of the question. The man was not trying to be funny. He was not trying to catch him out. So he answers and says, the first is straightforward. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This was the right time. If Trinity was his principles of teaching, the idea of God, this was the right opportunity for him to tell the man and through him tell the whole of mankind, because that statement would have been preserved, that for there are three that they record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That was the time. Not somebody later on adding with his own handwritings. And Allah says, فَوَيْلُوا لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِهِمْ. So woe to them who write the book with their own hands. ثُمَّ يَكْتُبُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Then they say, this is from Allah. لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. That they may reap from it some small reward. فَوَيْلُوا لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِهِمْ. So woe to them what their hands do write. فَوَيْلُوا لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. And woe to them for what they earn. This is it. See, in the fundamentals of the teachings of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and Islam, no difference. But the churches have created the differences. And it is our duty as Muslims, as a torchbearer of this last and final revelation of Allah, the Holy Quran, Allah is giving us instructions what to do, our duties and obligations. And if we don't fulfill our obligations, Allah wants. So you Muslims, if you turn back, if you turn back from the duties and obligations which Allah has imposed upon you for being the khayra ummatin, you are the best of people. Allah says, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people evolved for mankind. تأمرون بالمعروف وتنحون عن المنكر. Because you enjoy what is right and you forbid what is wrong. وتؤمنون بالله and you believe in Allah. This honor, this privilege imposes on a certain responsibility. And that responsibility is to share this knowledge, this deen with the rest of mankind. You don't do the job, he says, يَسْتَبِّلْ قَوْمُ خَيْرَكُمْ. He will substitute in your place another people. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُمْ وَمْطَالَكُمْ. Then they will not be like you. Allah's warning, and they will not be like you. And in history we see again and again a repetition of this principle. You don't do your job, get out of the way, you rubbish. You do the same in your businesses. You are working as a bank manager. You don't do your job, the headquarters is fired at you. You are a foreman in a firm, in a factory. What? Whatever job you are doing, you are the principal of the school. You have that the teacher. If they don't do the job, the principal will fire him. If the principal doesn't do the job, the education department will fire him. No? This is the natural law. You don't do your job, yastabdil qawman ghayrakum. Substitute in your place another people. Humma la yakun wa mthalakum. Then they will not be like you. Mr. Chairman, and my dear brothers and sisters, I have given you a bit of an introduction to this subject of unity, believing in the oneness of God, and the Trinity, which is, these are the two competing forces on earth today. Really speaking, there are only two religions on earth which are competing for the hearts and minds of mankind, Islam and Christianity. Islam, straight, simple, straightforward, belief in the oneness of God. Christianity, talking about one God, but three in one. I said among them, there is a group of people, if I had a chance, I will touch it, the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know, they happen to be, wherever they go, they are the most vociferous people, they are the most energetic people. We must take off our hat to them. You know, they are the fittest of Christians. They call themselves Christians. The other Christians say they are not Christians. But then they say that the others are pagans, they are also not Christians. The Jehovah's Witnesses. They say they don't believe in Trinity like us. But they say Jesus is the begotten Son. He is begotten by God. You ask him, what does it mean? He says, do you know what it says? Look at the dictionary. He'll tell you, the Jehovah's Witness is consistent. The Jesus is the begotten Son. It says, the Bible says so. Though the word begotten also is now thrown out of the Bible. Allah says, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Allah does not beget and is not begotten. We are supposed to give them the message. He did. The Christians discovered that this word begotten also is an interpolation, so they also threw it out. But the Jehovah's Witness, they still have it. They say he is the begotten Son. God begotten. So what does it mean? It means what it says. Look at the dictionary. And begetting is an animal act. It belongs to the lower animal functions of sex. That's what it means. Begetting a child is an animal act. However, they say the name of God is Jehovah. When you say the name of God Almighty is Allah, no, it's a false God. Allah is a false God. Jehovah is his name. So you argue and debate, and they got endless patience. They are the fittest Christians to give us trouble, and they are the fittest Christians to harass the other Christians. You know what makes them the fittest? 5 times a week they go to the kingdom halls. The churches, they call them kingdom halls. 5 times a week they go for training. So you know, we went to this Muslim fellow, and you know, he said this, and I gave him one punch like that, and you know, I gave him an uppercut. He said, yeah, you could also give one like that. Yeah. So they get training. 5 times a week they're getting training. Training, 5 times a week. We are supposed to get training 5 times a day. Salat. What is Salah? Instructions. Allah is giving us instructions through the Imam 5 times a day, 365 days of the year. But it's like water on duck's back. It's not being any good. Wallah. And the Salah is there. On the day of judgment, Allah won't ask you, why didn't you make Salah? You say, I did it. It's recorded. He won't say, why didn't you make Salah? But what we are supposed to get? Instructions. Instructions. Allah has given us instructions through the Imam, mouth of the Imam. And it's like water on God's back. To all of us. Including the Arabs. I told them, including you. You shall speak to them. And they listen. There's something great about the Arabs. You can be to him. But if you are justified in giving a hammering, he takes it. He's not hypersensitive like the Indian Muslim or the Pakistani Muslim. They are very sensitive. You can't criticize them. You can't tell them, hey, look, this is not right. No, no, you can't tell him that. But the Arab takes it. If you can give proof, that this is where you're getting off. This is where you have missed the boat. He recognizes. He regrets it. 5 times a day. Allah is telling us, and we're listening to the Imam. The Imam says, Ya Ahlul Kitab, for example, he's reading the Salatul Maghrib, here is Surah Fatiha, and he's Bismillah. يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منهم فآمنوا بالله ورسله الله أكبر بارك الله فيك سبحان الله سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلو يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا يا أهل الكتاب ولا تقولوا ثلاثا وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا فلقد جئتم شيئا عدا تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الارض وتخر الجبال حدا ان دعوا للرحمن ولدا الله اكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله اكبر في سين when you finish up so mashallah no this is very beautiful how nice it is yes beautiful you know when I was young our people used to appreciate people reading through the nose they said reading through the nose a'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajim and my people used to say oh how beautiful he can read it through his nose it's a defect wallah it's a defect but he said mashallah he can read through his nose is the Quran to be read through his nose no. So we marvel mashallah what beautiful recitation Qari Abdul Samad Abdul Basit he was here he was in Mali mashallah what mashallah is the sound the rhythm the music breath control 2 minutes the man his breath doesn't break I try to catch up with him sometimes you see I was a physical culturist you can see that can you see humne dangal bhi kiya I did wrestling boxing weightlifting swimming yes people say I'm 17 I see I'm standing so I did a lot of exercise. This is in my youth, this is right. So when Qari Abdul Samad Abdul Basit, when he starts, I take a deep breath and I want to see how far I can go with him. And believe me, 4 times my breath breaks before he finishes one. And I'm supposed to be a physical culturist. You see. So what I've been marveling is that breath control. No, Allah is going to break down, it's not breaking down, and it's still carrying on. There is Allahu Akbar. There is Allahu Akbar. He was telling you, "Hat wa qalu ittakhadha ar-rahmanu walada," not the way I'm saying, of course, the way he's usually. And they say that ar-Rahman, the merciful God, has begotten a son. Allah ne beta jana, God has given birth to a son. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا عِدَّا is one of the most abominable assertions one can make. The worst swearing you can give Allah is this. If you want to swear Allah, the worst swearing you can think of, Allah says, is this, to say that He begot a son. The worst swearing I can give you is to swear your mother, your wife, your daughter. Like this I can call you anything. You irritate me. I can call you, you're a donkey. I say you're a fool. I say you're an ox. You're a monkey. What are you going to do? You'll punch me? No, I say, old man, he says, let him go, man. You know, people get to lose their tempers very quickly. Old people do. You know, old people do. Like an old man, like my brother here, like me. He goes to the Hakim Saab, you know, the doctor. He says, Hakim Saab, no, I can't see. Yeah, I'm seeing things hazy. So the Hakim Saab says, it's a sign of old age. And you're 70 now, 75. What did you expect, you know? He says, Hakim Saab, I can't hear properly. This is a sign of old age. He says, Hakim Saab, my teeth are also loose. This is a sign of old age. He says, Hakim Saab, my bones are also creaking. So the Hakim Saab says, also a sign of old age. So the old man lost his temper and slapped him on the face. He said, this is also a sign of old age. So what you do? I call you name, donkey, monkey, bell, gada. What do you do? You just laugh it off. You say, but if I saw your mother, then what do you say? Say, uncle, stop it. That's the last word. I want to hear one more word from you. All the respect I have for you will be gone. It's already gone. It will be gone. Yes? Don't talk about my mother. Don't talk about my wife. Don't talk about my daughter. Don't talk about my sister. Call me what you like. Right? The worst swearing I can give you is to swear your mother. Allah says, the worst swearing you can give me is this. He says, at it the skies are ready to burst. And the earth to split asunder. And the mountains to fall down in utter ruin. That they should say that Ar-Rahman has begotten a son, that the heaven had a feeling like you, had emotions like you, the heaven would have fallen, and the earth would have split asunder if it had feelings and emotions like you. And the mountains would have fallen down in utter ruin if they had feelings like you. What has happened to you? O Muslim, what has happened to you? That when they're abusing Almighty, you say you love Allah more than your wife and your mother and your sister and your daughter and yourself. You love Him more than anything else. And then they swear Him, the worst swearing, Allah says, what, how do you react? Big joke. Yes, yeah, a big joke. And you say you love Allah, you hypocrite. I'm telling you, that's you. Look, these people here, my people here, unfortunately, they didn't know. They read all this, mashallah, we were reading for sawab, and I believe Allah will give us sawab. But the Arab, I said, did you understand what Allah is saying? Of course he understood. I said, what are you doing? What are you sitting on your backside doing nothing? 5 times a day, Allah is giving us instructions through the mouth of the Imam. We are supposed to be the fittest people on earth. The Jehovah's Witnesses among the Christians are. They are the fittest to give us battle. They are the fittest to give the other Christians battle. Why? 5 times a week. 5 times a week they gather in the kingdom halls. The other Christians once a week. Me too generally now, also once a week, Friday. So, this Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. When a fellow comes to you next time, you get my book. I don't know if they have it. If they haven't got it, they must have them published straight away. Straight away. And if the people of Sri Lanka are too beggary, I understand you people deal a lot in gems, diamonds. If you can't afford to publish this book, I am prepared to pay for it. Who are the people around here? I said, I am prepared to pay for this. 10,000 copies I am prepared to pay. If your nation can't pay, if you are beggary with all your diamonds and gems and all the things that you have, if you can't afford it, I will pay for this. 10,000 copies should be published straight away and give it to the people. Book, get it, is the Bible God's word. Open page 13. Any Jehovah's Witness comes along, open page 13. Unlucky number for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Page 13. This is page 13. Page 13. You see there a monogram. Monogram of a magazine called Awake is the Jehovah's Witness magazine called Awake. Awake. And it says on the heading, 50,000 errors in the Bible. That's their book saying. So as soon as the guy comes along, you recognize Jehovah's Witness, take this, open this and say, look, is this yours? This is like a rubber stamp. Awake. That's his rubber stamp. Is this yours? He said, yes. He recognized it straight away. This is his. This is done by photostatic process. You see, it says that 50,000 errors in the Bible. Is it true? You shake him out of his wits. Yes, easy weapon I'm giving you. Master this one book and there isn't a Christian born who can stand before you. There isn't. All these other books are also free. But I want you people to get involved. If you can't, ask me, beg to me and I will help you. Wallah. But first, charity begins at home. Don't make people beggars. Everybody becomes like a beggar. I want everything for nothing. You know, we have been doing all this zakat lillah for long enough now. We have been collecting and eating other people's zakat and lillah. Don't eat people's zakat and lillah. Be prepared to foot the bill. And if you can't, I'm giving you this offer. You just tell me, 10,000 copies will be so much, inshallah, you'll have it in your bank account. Get this. Arm yourself. This is what you owe to yourself and to your children. Don't wait for people to come along and make nest in your heads, to use you as a punching bag, using you as a doormat. This is not the destiny Islam has for you. Allah says, لِيُزِهِرَهُ وَلَدِّينَ كُلِّهِ He's given you a deen that is to master, overcome and supersede them all. Bulldoze them all. وَكَفَىٰ اللَّهِ شَهِدًا And enough is Allah as a witness to this fact that He's going to make His deen to prevail with you or without you. It's a privilege He's given you and me, rotters that we are, to serve his deen, to do a prophet's job and earn a prophet's reward is left to you. With these words, I'm very grateful for this opportunity they have given me of gathering all these so many brothers and sisters that I can share my feelings with them. Jazakallah wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. About the challenge which I gave to the Pope. Actually, there is something there, but it's not the whole truth. I didn't challenge the Pope. I didn't challenge the Pope to anything. What happened is this, that His Holiness, the Pope, my Arab brothers call him Baba, Baba, Father, you see, Baba. So he, when he went to Turkey, he made a pronouncement that we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. He said that. We must have a dialogue with the Muslims. When he went to Kenya, he said, we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. When he went to Nigeria, he said, we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. Who is this we? The Roman Catholic Church. They should have a dialogue with the Muslims. What is a dialogue? A dialogue is a two-way process. We have a problem, like Allah said, he must have a dialogue with them, with the Christians. Ya Ahl al-Kitab Ta'ala. Allah is telling us to call them what? Where the hell? Ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynana. About what? Sa'allah na'budu illallah. That we worship none but Allah. This is what Allah is telling us, to have a dialogue with Him. Now He is talking about having a dialogue. But He didn't mean that. Actually He was telling His people, go and convert the Muslims. They are already prepared to receive the message. In the Second Vatican Council, they passed a resolution. Spoke. In the Second Vatican Council, they passed a resolution that Islam has a place in God's scheme of salvation. And the Muslim world was happy, relaxed. See, now they accept Islam as a true religion. So we need to get that. You know, we are such fools. The Muslims, such fools. Simpletons. Simpletons. You know, simpleton, you think means tons of simplicity. Yes. Simpleton in English means an idiot, fool, a lunatic. You know that? It doesn't mean bahut sada suda. Simpleton means a fool, idiot. Yes. So the Muslims said, you see, they accept us now. No. When the Roman Catholic Church, they made the pronouncement that Islam has a place in God's scheme of salvation, what they were telling the people, that this Muslim is already prepared to receive the message of Christ. He said, look, you don't have to convince a Muslim about anything. You don't have to convince him that Jesus is one of the mightiest messengers of God. He accepts. You don't have to convince him that Jesus is the Masihullah, Allah's Messiah. He accepts. You don't have to convince him that Jesus was born miraculously without any male intervention. He accepts. You don't have to convince him that Jesus gave life to the dead by God's permission and he healed those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. He accepts. You don't have to convince him that Allah took him up into heaven and is coming back. He's already there. He needs a little push to make him to say that Christ died for my sins. That's all. So he is the fittest fellow. Muhammad prepared this Muslim, 1,000 million, prepared them all to receive the message of Christ. So God has a place for this deen in his scheme of salvation. Already 1,000 million are prepared to receive the message. The Muslims is accepting that. Yes, to swallow the digestion. So he wants to have a dialogue. He doesn't mean a dialogue. He's telling his people, don't convert them. But if you use the word convert, you're going to react. If he comes along, the priest with his dog collar, you know, the collar upside down, says good morning. Ah, you recognize that he's coming along to steal our children. Sister, get rid of him somehow. Could be bahana. Any excuse, get him out. But if he says, I want to have a dialogue with you, you can't say no, because Allah tells you to have a dialogue with him. He says, you're caught out. But he doesn't mean dialogue. He's talking about evangelization, conversion. He did it in Kenya, he did it in Nigeria, wherever he goes. He wants to go to Mali. Twice he made application to go to Mali. What do you want to do in Mali? 100% Muslim. What do you want to go and do there? No. Catching fish. Those are fishermen. Yes. Those fishermen will become fish themselves. Yes. They're all fishermen, most of them. Bali, good people. It's worth visiting that place. If you haven't been to the place, it's worth visiting. Fantastic people. 100% Muslim. In Mali, I was there for 3-4 days, and it's raining almost continuously, and puddles in the road. You know, water. But you know, water doesn't smell there. After 2 days, 3 days, the sun shining and the water and the rain, anywhere in the world it stinks. Anywhere in the world. The water will stink. It doesn't stink in Mali. You know why? Those people don't urinate in the streets. No Malian, no Muslim in Mali ever urinates in the street. No Malian, you know, there's no dogs in Mali. No dogs in the country. In the country, no pigs, no dogs. Amazing. They don't eat in the street. They're fantastic people. It's worth visiting. They're simple people. They're not as sophisticated as your Sinhalese people or my people in South Africa. Not so sophisticated, but good Muslims. He wants to go to Mali. Twice he made application to go to Mali. What do you do in Mali? No, catching fish. They tried it in the 15th century, the Portuguese. The Portuguese had occupied it for 15 years. And the Pope then, he made a decree. He says, convert all the Malians, baptize them all. And the Portuguese made a decree. Tomorrow morning, every Maldivian must be baptized. That's coming from His Holiness, the Pope then. Every Maldivian must be baptized. Convert them to Christianity. Willy-nilly, whether they like it or not. However, that's not the way. So, His Holiness is talking about dialogue. So I write to him, I say, Your Holiness, His Holiness. I said, look, you're talking about dialogue. Quran also says about having a dialogue. And I'm prepared to have a dialogue with you. I'm prepared to come to the Vatican. And in St. Peter's in Rome, it's a huge place. I've been there, you see. I've seen the place. I said, we can have a dialogue. You tell me when, anytime, I'll make myself available. Anytime, day, available. So no reply. So I send him another letter, no reply. I send him a telegram, no reply. I send him another telegram. He's all that called it. Comes a reply, he's prepared to receive me in the secretariat, in private. So I said, look, this is not a matter between Ahmad Didat and the Pope. This is the matter between Islam and Christianity. 1,000 million Muslims are represented on one side, 1,200 million Christians on the other side. Over 2 billion people are interested in knowing what was Didat talking about. So the world must know. The news media of the world will cover it. The TV networks will cover it. People want to hear it. 3 plane loads of young men from my country want to charter planes for the dialogue. They're enthusiastic. How big is your secretariat? No reply. Again, how big is your secretariat? Please, did you receive the message or not? No reply. He got the joke. Then Allah Bari Ta'ala, you see, He helps you. He is Musabbibul Asbab. Jibreel alayhi salam doesn't come anymore. But as if Akhi Jibreel, you know Akhi Jibreel? The archangel Jibreel used to bring messages to his prophets, Allah's prophets. As if he sent this from heaven, this picture. This picture was not taken in heaven, it was taken on earth. But as if it came from heaven in the post. In the post, this picture came. See what he's doing? He's doing like that. And in Urdu, you remember the film I saw as a young man, Aat me choli khelenge hum, aat me choli khelenge. He's playing hide and seek. He's playing hide and seek with Krishna. That's all. He has been playing hide and seek, so I'm telling you, he's playing hide and seek with us. So this is what it is. They're playing a game. The Muslim gets caught out very easily. He's so simple, good-hearted. I am in Birmingham at a luncheon. Dr. Abdullah Nasif al-Darabita from Jeddah, him and me sitting side by side. Says, Ahmad, that's what he said. Ahmad says, what happened about the dialogue with the Pope? So I explained to him, I said, look, the guy was playing a game and he was trying to catch us out. I caught him out. So he said, you know, the guy did it to me. So what did he do to you? He said, you know, he called me for a dialogue. I said, yes. He said, I went. See, why is it? You see, it's good people, good-hearted people. See, yeah? Dr. Abdullah Nasir, very clever man, very clever man. But you get caught out, good people, good-hearted. So he went. And he said, they put me into a sitting room, waiting room. I sat for 10 minutes. Then from there, I got promoted to another waiting room. I went and sat there for another 10 minutes. Waiting for the Pope, His Holiness. And they put me into another waiting room. You know, suspense is created. Any minute you're going to see now, Lika Allah, Astaghfirullah. As if you're going to see the Almighty now. So in comes the Pope. Very charming. Very charming. Most psychology. He is the cleverest Pope they had in 1,000 years. You know, if he come from Sri Lanka? Yes, he did. Great. Then did you see pictures in the newspaper that when he arrived at your airport, he kissed the ground? Yes. And it made the Muslims happy? Yes. He said, he made the sijda. He says, yes, he made the sujood. He's just like a Muslim. He needs a little push. You can make him into a Muslim. Simpletons. So, as soon as we met Dr. Nasir, he said, you come from Egypt? Maybe he was fishing for somebody from Egypt. He said, no, I come from Saudi Arabia. He said, you know, you don't allow us to build churches in your country. So Dr. Nasir had the presence of mind. He said, you allow us to build mosque in the Vatican? He said, no. You know, in the rest of the, not Makkah, Medina, but in the rest of the country, he said, look, we allow you people to have the facility of having your prayers. But you make each and every prayer, this is a center for catching the Ceylonese Buddhists, making you become a Christian, and the Korean Buddhists to become a Christian, and from all over the world they come, you want to Christianize all, using our places as centers of Christianity. It's not for yourself that you want to offer prayers. Is this the dialogue Allah told you to have with him? No? Allah said, Allah, na'budu illallah. Talk about that. Wala nushrika bihi shay'an. Talk about that. No. But you see, this is how he's catching people out. I go to Malaysia. I meet the old Tunku Abdul Rahman, the old Prime Minister. He's very old. I don't know whether he's still alive. I met him a few years back, and again, same relationship. He said, Ahmad, what happened? Everybody seemed to know about me and the Pope. The Pope made me famous, you see. So, he said, what happened about the dialogue? I says, no, you see, it's like that. The guy was playing a game. I caught him out. He said, you know, the guy caught me out. I don't know how many Muslims he caught out. He said, I said, how? How did he catch you out? He was an experienced prime minister. He says, no, he wanted to have a dialogue. So I went. He went. So he said, I went. And well received. And he starts. Same type of suspense. Eventually when he meets His Holiness. His Holiness says, you know, in Sabah, it's one of the independent states of Malaysia, in little some type of independency, the drug laws are very severe. When they catch you for drugs, they can hang you. So they caught two Roman Catholic priests, drug trafficking. So now he says, well, can't you intercede with the Sabah government on our behalf to let my people go? Is that what Allah wants you to have a dialogue about? No, can you see? So the thing is, this is the game he was playing, and he was, I'm also in the game, so he was trying to catch everybody out, so I caught him out playing hide and seek. I hope that answers that question. Anybody else? Yes, please. Any commentary you take about any learned man, there isn't a commentary with which you can't find take exception. There isn't. Any translation you bring, you are looking for faults, you can find faults. If you're looking for faults, you'll find faults in every translation. There isn't a translation because the Quran really can't be translated. This is Allah's Kalam. What the pen is trying to do is to try to give the meaning, the gist of it. Everybody is trying to do that. And each according to his ability, he's doing his best. With regards to this or that, Maududi, I want to know, have you got Maududis, you yourself? You have. What did you pay for it?
Very expensive.
Very expensive, number one. You see, number one, then, in Maududis, if I tell you, find surah so-and-so, verse so-and-so, you can't find it. It hasn't got an index. Then the translation is chunks, whole page, one side Arabic, whole side translation. I gave you, I said, verse by verse translation. Ya ahlal kitab, O people of the book, la taghlu fi dinikum, do not go to extremes in your religion, wa la taqulu ala Allahi illa al-haq, and don't say anything about Allah except the truth. In verse by verse translation. Everything on your fingertips. Language. There is nothing on earth, no other translation can come anywhere near it. And price, cheapest translation you can buy. In my country, I'm selling this for 10 rands. 10 rands in what is your currency?
200 rupees.
10 rands?
150
rupees. 150 rupees, I sell this. And if you can't afford it, free. No, I'm not trying to just bluff you. I show you. Yeah. See this beautiful production? So read it, the most positive book in the world. A proclamation to humanity, a fountain of mercy and wisdom, a warning to the heedless, a guide to the erring, an assurance to those in doubt, a hope to the suffering, a solace to those in despair. Free, free, free. To every school, college, university and public library, absolutely free of charge. To every mosque and madrasa, free of charge. To the general public, 10 rands each, that is your 150 rupees. And if you buy two, you reduce the price. And after 3 months you return it, you pay 10 rands for it. And if you return it after 3 months of use, we give you 10 rands back, plus 1 rand extra for your troubles. No, yes. This majlis fellow also said that Maududi is also not right. You see, he's also out of Islam. Maududi is also out. This is it. You see, people, when you look for faults, you can see spots in the suns. You know they talk about spots in the suns? Huh? You have seen them? You have seen them? Spots in the sun? No, but the people do see it. brother, as far as I know, I have no motives. You know, this is the best that there is, and there won't be till Yawmul Qiyamah, there won't be any. There won't be anything like it. So use what you can. If you can understand direct, you don't need any translation. Aim for that. Yes.
Next. During the initial phases of the mind speech, you make a fine line or do a distinction between the scientific and the art of religion which exists. And I feel that, at least in the meaning of many, that a conflicting point between these two groups of religion is the concept of reincarnation, whereas the scientific religions do not believe in reincarnation, but the art of religions find that it's a cornerstone of their belief. Now, the Christian, what I really see is a ramification of a misconception of Christianity. Now, they say that Jesus died at the cross, but they say that once again that Jesus will be coming. So that, in short, reincarnation. So how come that as a scientific religion, they don't believe in reincarnation, but they say that the main Messiah will be reincarnated, though they don't mention the word, but that's what happens in reality. How do you characterize this?
Suddenly you should have asked a Christian whether they believe in reincarnation to incarnate. Incarnate is to take form, physical form. The Aryan religions, they believe in God incarnating. He takes human form. You understand that? Incarnating. Rama is the seventh incarnation of God. Krishna, eighth incarnation of God. Buddha, ninth incarnation of God. And they believe in endless incarnation. That this God Almighty, He keeps on coming to the world again and again as a man. That's incarnation. Reincarnation means when you die, you come up again in another form, another person. That's reincarnation means you are getting another body. Another body, another body. Now we can go into this matter, philosophy behind this, to how did it originate, who invented it, and how true it is and how beneficial it is. That's a different subject. Therefore, it was going to get unwieldy, out of proportions, so we had to leave one thing alone. With regards to Christ, you see, the Christians don't believe that he'll be reincarnated. The Muslims believe that he's coming back. The one he went up, he's going to come back. To reincarnate means he must go into another woman's womb and come out again and start sucking his mother's breast and grow up. That is reincarnation. The Christians don't believe in Jesus going to happen to that, nor do the Muslims say that he's going to come and be born again from a mother's womb. So if there is anything, you should ask this to the Christians. Ask them about this reincarnation business, but they don't believe that. It will be wasting the time. They believe that the same Jesus, same physical Jesus that went up is going to come back, not reincarnated.
You just explained the question of Trinity, and you said that if there are Christians who don't believe in Trinity, they can say they are somehow true Muslims. Now, is it case me to say that if supposing there are a group of Christians who do not believe in the Trinity and can they follow the teachings of Jesus as the Bible you have there with you, or do they have to follow the teachings of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
wasallam? You see, to follow Jesus, when you say you believe in a prophet, when you say you believe in Allah, what does it imply? It implies that whatever Allah tells you to do, you do. You say, I believe in Allah. He says, you must fast. He said, no. Am I poor? You know, Allah has given me, blessed me so much. Why must I starve myself? So you mustn't take riba, interest. He said, look, man, I see no difference between business and interest. Are you listening to Allah? You believe in Him? If you believe in Him, implies that whatever He tells you to do, you do. That is your belief. You say you believe in Jesus? I said, yes. What does Jesus say? He said, worship me. Did He say, worship me? No. He said, come, I'll teach you how to pray. He said, pray like this. Oh, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where did He say the Father of Jesus Christ in heaven? Where did He say He is the Father? He said, Jesus, He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You haven't got the capacity. His disciples. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever shall he hear, that shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me. Now when that person comes, you refuse to accept him. You believe in Jesus? No. He said, believe in one God, I believe in three in one. You believe in Jesus? No. So you see, so to believe in Allah means to listen to what Allah tells you. To believe in the Prophet means what the Prophet tells you, you accept. That is what belief means. He said, believe in the Prophet Muhammad. He, through him, Allah says, don't eat the pig. He said, I'll eat it. I love bacon and ham. Huh? He said, you're a Muslim. Are you Muslim? And because you got the label Muslim, you're going to go to heaven. You're breaking the laws and commands at every step, and you say, you're a Muslim. You say, you believe in Allah and His Rasul. What do you believe in Allah and His Rasul? You're making a mockery of it. Can you see? So believe means you listen to instructions. And you follow instructions, you can't help being a Muslim. Whatever you are. What the Bible says about Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is answers that. It deals with that prophecy of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, where God Almighty is speaking to Hazrat Musa alaihi salam. He said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. We give 15 different reasons here to prove that that prophet is our Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad, and not Jesus. 15. Here also, another 10,000. Okay, you got it? If you haven't got it, another 10,000. Bring them. Bring them and give to them.
The book is available
free. He says, the book is available, you must go and pick it up from their offices.
No, over here.
Oh, over here, at the back.
I am aware that they are also concerned to not looking similar to the political. Further, some books is prepared today. It says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being hidden from the rain. And from example, I say, from the end of the book, I mean, I think of to celebrate being a military, they think all over. Now, currently, this particular center is giving Mahatma Gandhi,
you see, look, the subject we have been dealing with, it's far, far off the mark. You know, the request that he's making about some people have certain beliefs and what belief they have about Noor and everything was created by Noor and some verses that he has been reading, whether this creates any type of shirk. I think you have your alims here in Sri Lanka. Haven't you got any alims? Well, now you see, this is something you must go to the alims. What you're doing now, I am an expert in comparative religion. I think by now you should have sensed that 2 hours I'm talking now. I'm talking on another level. You see? Now you want to come down to the gutter level and start, you know, says, look, the enemy is not waiting for your purification. He's stealing your children. There are literature directed at you. 60,000 books have been written against Islam in the past 150 years. 60,000. You are not aware of it at all. The Christian missionaries are pouring into Muslim lands. They have converted more Pakistanis into Christianity since independence than the previous 150 years of British rule. They have converted more Bangladeshis into Christianity since independence than the previous 150 years of British rule. There are 72 Christian units working among the Mujahideen in Afghanistan as against only 9 Muslims. And people like you and me are running to Africa. They want to improve my people. I said, look, they need you here at home. Charity begins at home. There's fire at home. Look after your own. You're spending foreign currency, wasting foreign exchange money, and running to South Africa. What do you want in South Africa? I want to know what you want in South Africa. When the house is on fire here, when at home here I gave you an example that you can't even advertise Christ and Islam in the newspaper, you people. You going to do anything about that? Nothing. You can't even write a letter to the press. This is it. What's wrong with you? See, we are busy, busy, busy. Brother, why aren't you keeping a beard? This busy, busy, and you got a beard, this is not standard size. Yours is not standard size too. You should have a nice big beard. No? You're wearing Nasara clothes like me. Why are you talking too much? Why don't you wear Muslim clothes? Now they're busy with that. Can you see? I said, this is a luxury we can't afford. The house is on fire. They're stealing your children all over the world. And you are bickering about how Allah created the Prophet from his womb or from what? From darkness? What? Please, please, I beg you. Identify the enemy and do your job. That is priority number one. Instead of, you know, trying to, you know, shake me up and shake this fellow and shake that fellow, leave them, man. As they come into the mosque, they make salat. Those that don't make salat, catch them. Wake them up in the morning and bring them to the masjid. That's better than who says, Nur al Nur. Christian says God can come as anything. So why can't he come as a man? If this is good logic, my Hindu cousin, my ancestors, they say he came as Hanuman. Why can't he come as Hanuman? Why can't he come as a cow? Why can't he come as a pig? Why can't he come as a dog? Why can't he come as a snake? Why stop at man? Why ask him, why stop at man? If God can come as a man, why can't he become a woman? Why can't he become a donkey? No, ask him, why can't he become? So, fool, this is not God. As soon as God becomes a man, he's not God anymore. As soon as he becomes a cockroach, he's not God anymore. You know that? No, he becomes a cockroach and he's growing as a... He's not God anymore. He must become a perfect cockroach. No. So the perfect cockroach is got all the problems of a cockroach. Finish. No more God. Look, does God say that in the Bible that I can become a dog or a pig or a donkey? Does he say that? What are you talking about? Does he say he can become a man? Does he? No. So it says somehow, hook or by crook, justify whatever you want to believe. With regards to the second question, Allah speaks in the Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Na is a plural. See, it is for us to send down the revelation and it is for us to protect it. So we have created the heavens and the earth. So they say, who is this we? Father, Son and Holy Ghost. No. This is ask the Arab Christian. You see, no Arab Christian has pointed a finger at the Muslim. There are 6 million Coptic Christians in Egypt. No Christian ever asked the Muslim, who is this we? Who is this us? Father, Son and Holy Ghost? Or Allah, Muhammad and Jibreel? Nobody asked. Why? Because in every Eastern language, including Arabic and Hebrew, including my own, there are two types of plurals. There is a plural of numbers and there is a plural of respect. I don't know what other language I can speak to, but in Pakistan it's much easier for me to speak to the Pakistani. I said, look, this little boy here, I'm asking him his name. So I asked him, Aapka kya naam hai? Aap, aap is more than one. In Urdu, in my Gujarati, say tamaru, hu naam che, tamaru, more than one. And I don't mean you and your father and your grandfather, what is your name? No, this is a plural of respect. I'm sure in the Sinhalese and the Tamil language, you have this type of plural. You talk with respect to a little child. You say, you, in the plural. So the child might also say, aapka kya naam hai? I say, tera kya naam hai? He'll say, tera kya naam hai? See? So, what is your name? So what is your name? So I say, aapka kya naam hai? This is our language. Language, Arabic, Hebrew. Ask the Jew. The first verse of the Bible. So ask the Jew. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the Christian Trinitarian, he will tell you that this word God in Hebrew is Elohim. And Elohim is plural. That means Father, Son, and Host. See, the Christian now is reading into a Jewish book his theology. I said, all right. So if this word is God's, in Hebrew it is God's, how is it that the 100 different versions you have, everywhere you say God and not God's, why do you mistranslate? If the word in Hebrew is God's, why don't you write in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth? Why do you do that? Why are you cheating? Why are you deceiving people? If in the original is God's, then you must translate God's. But no Bible on earth says God's created the heavens and the earth. It says God. Why do you say God? Can you see? In the Hebrew language, like in Arabic, is a plural of respect, not plural of numbers. Thank you. They didn't kill him and they didn't crucify him. Walakin shubbiha lahu. But it was made to appear to them. So, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَقٍ مِّنْهُمْ. And those who dispute therein are full of doubts. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They have no certain knowledge. إِلَّا اتِّبَى الظَّنِّ. They only follow conjecture, guesswork, fiction. وَمَا قَتَلُهُ يَقِينًا. For of a surety they killed him not. But رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. But Allah took him up to himself. That's what the Quran says, and that's what we must accept. Now you want to go say, what is he doing in heaven? 2,000 years, his beard must have grown, in sweeping heaven, who's swimming there? Leave that for the future. When we go up, when we go up one day, you know, then you ask Allah, Ya Baitara, what did you do to his beard? You know, what was he doing? What was he eating? Where was he going to the toilet? That's all you ask him then. For the moment, this is what Allah says, I accept. And then put it into one glass and drink it. Finish, gone. It's all, you see, it's all watered down now. You're watering it down. I said, look, where do you get all this thing? In the first place, it's not there in the book. The word Trinity is not found in any Bible on earth. Trinity. This is the foundation of the religion. The word Trinity is not found in any Bible on the earth. What kind of religion is this? Huh? And now you want to fight about that? The word is not there. But the Quran has it. Amazing. The Quran has the word Trinity. You know that? The Bible, in 2,000 different languages they have this Bible. But not in a single language the word Trinity is there. There are 100 different English versions. Not one place the word Trinity is there. But Trinity is in the Quran. You know that? Amazing. We don't believe in Trinity, but Trinity is there in the Quran. You know what it says? Allah Salatakulu Salasa. Don't say Trinity. The word Trinity is in the Quran. That's it. Don't talk about it. In the Bukhair Lakum, this is topic, it will be better for you. In Namallahu Ilam Wahid, for your God is one God. This is anyhow. Hook or by crook, some say it's like an egg. Egg. You know egg? Fowl egg? This is, look, it's like an egg. Look at the egg. Shell, the white of the egg and the yellow yolk. So that's unity. Perfect. Egg, God. This egg is your God. I says, you know what? Yes, you can have scrambled egg. That's perfect. But I said, look, you see, in my country they sell powdered egg. Powdered egg. Powdered egg means the white and the yolk dried up and it's powdered and you get it in packets. So when you have no fresh eggs, you can beat it up in water and use it like egg. But instead of having the yolk and the white, you just make the white, dry it up, powder it, and sell it as egg powder. You go to jail in my country. You know that? Or the shell, powder it, pack it, and say, this is egg. You go to jail in my country. So, in which way are they co-equal? The shell is equal to the white? Is the white equal to the yolk? No. It's all. Then the leaf. In the tree, the clover leaf. These three parts. This leaf, that part, that part, that part. So, you take one out, what happens? Is this perfect three in one? They say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are co-equal and co-eternal. They are co-equal. The Father is not superior to the Son, and the Son is not superior to the Holy Ghost. And amazing, Jesus says in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verse 30, He says, I and my Father are one. If it means whatever they say, whatever they think, but Father and I are one. Who is Father? God. And who is I? Jesus. Who is the Holy Ghost? Where is the Holy Ghost? No, He's not there. That means there are two gods now. Not three in one, there's two in one. What extent are you going to go now to justify your religion? You see? So this is, Allah says, وَلَا تَبْتُوا سَلَسَا. Stop it. Stop it. In the Bukhari. Allah told him to proclaim his mission. He proclaimed the mission. He told the Jews, well, you as a Muslim, now you believe what he says. He said, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum. Did he say that? You as a Muslim, you believe that is the word of God? La taghlu fi dinikum. He said, don't go to extremes in your religion. Are you crucifying him? Are you crucifying the Christian? You are a Muslim. As a Muslim now, Allah is telling you to tell him. So qul means tell him, say. He's telling you and me, everybody. Tell them. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, O Jews and Christians, la taghlu fi dinikum. Do not go to extremes in your religion. What you doing? Crucifying him?
You said just now, crucifying other religions, what you're doing. You're supposed to, you, if you're a Muslim, unless you're a hypocrite. As a munafiq, you can say anything. If you are a Muslim, Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا سَلَاسًا. Did you tell them? Did you tell them as a Muslim? No, you won't. Why won't you? Maybe your brother-in-law is a Christian, your son, your father-in-law is a Christian. I can see sicknesses. No, please, stop it. You see, I'm discovering sick people in the Muslim community. But then I don't need time to find out where the sickness is. You see, I have needed sufficient time to analyze the man. I was in Sialkot in Pakistan in October. I did a lecture. In Sialkot there are more than 200,000 Christians on the border with India. A potential fifth column, more than 200,000 Christians. I did a lecture. And there comes along a major Nasir. See, we ask people to identify themselves. So suppose you came along, he had big moustaches for going up. He says, Major Nasir. What do you think, Major Nasir, Muslim or Christian? Muslim. Nasir, you know Nasir? General Jamal Abdul Nasir. You heard the name Nasir? Sir, Major Nasir. He's a Christian. Leader of the Christian movement in Gujaranwala. He came for a debate. At the end of it all, while I'm leaving, people are standing here, there, half a dozen here, a dozen there. They're chatting about the meeting, naturally. Like as soon as you go out, you'll be talking to people about whether you agree or disagree. You have every right to. So they're chatting. So while I'm passing there to go to my hotel, one man out of the group of 12, he said, Mr. Dieter. He said, tell me, what is the benefit of all these munazaras? Munazaras in Urdu means debates. Maybe like you come and ask me and I answer you. They say, well, this is like a debate. It's not a debate. I'm responding to you, but suppose somebody describes it as a debate. So what is the benefit of all these munazaras? So now, it's not a question, it's criticism. You see, in the guise of a question, he's criticizing me to tell me that you're wasting your time. So the best way out for me was late at night. I said, look man, you were there for 2 hours, like you. I said, you were there for 2 hours. Did you benefit at all in the meeting? I have a right to ask you. You wasted your time otherwise. What were you doing here for 2 hours? Did you benefit at all? He said, look, I'm asking you. You don't ask me. Clever guy. So I thought, best now what to do? Debate with him? So I said, look, dozen people around him, Pakistanis all. So I said, look, bhaiya, brothers, you people were all there for 2 hours. Any of you did benefit from that meeting? Mum. Zip, everybody zipped. The Pakistani is a very militant fellow, he's looking for fight all the time, you know that? Sunni, Shia, this, that, Wahhabi, and Deobandi, all the type of things that our brother was asking, that type of thing. He's busy. That guy, nobody is opening his mouth. Amazing. Says, no, he's wasting time. It was already 11 at night. I started moving. So my companion tells me that this guy who asked the question, he is the biggest industrialist in Sialkot. Number one. He is an employer of large number of labor. Number two, his wife is a German. And she is a missionary. And his house is the center of all Christian missions coming into Sialkot. I didn't know this. See, so unless I know, I say, I know now where the sickness is. You are already castrated. That guy is emasculated. He's an emasculated animal. His wife had emasculated him. Khassi ban gaya, khassi. I don't know whether you know what it means. He's emasculated animal. You know, like with castrate oxen. To make them ox bull, made into an ox. Sheep and goats, you know, we castrate them so they have nice meat, soft meat. This guy is finished. So like this I'm discovering sicknesses. You see, lakum dinukum waliyadin, this is a last resort. You try everything. And the man was so righteous. He's abusing you. He's swearing the Prophet, he's swearing Islam. Then you say, وَإِذَا خَاتَمُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When you meet the ignorant one, you say, peace. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ. You go your way, I go my way. As a last resort, when everything fails, then you reach that stage. If Abu Labi started with that, there would have been no problem. He wouldn't have to make hijrah. The Sahaba wouldn't have to make 2 hijrahs to Abyssinia. Islam wouldn't have reached you or me. You'd still be worshipping who? Rama, Sita, Hanuman and the Lord, you and I. Now you understand? If it was lakum dinukum waliyadin, if that was the teaching, then Islam wouldn't have reached any of us. You'd be still worshipping, you know, all the things that my cousins are worshipping. So lakum dinakum is as a last resort. When everything fails, then you say by peace. You go your way. No compulsion in religion, like Rafid Deen. But this is as a last resort when everything fails. Right. No, I will carry on like this. Say so. Tell them. Announce it. He's going over four chairs. Come, tell him this will be the last question.
You wrote that the reading of the book should follow Prophet Muhammad as an angel. And they do not follow Prophet Muhammad, they are not the reading of the book. But in the Tumba, they say you could marry the reading of the book. That means it's for you underlying the whole and then the world. So do the reading of the book exist in that time or do they read it?
Yes, I think you see, if you quote that verse from the Quran, Allah tells us that you can marry women of the people of the book who are muhsinat, virtuous women, chaste women among the Ahl al-Kitab. And when do you come to them? That you come across a Jewish or a Christian woman better than all the Muslim women in your environment, better than them, it's possible. Possible. You come across such a woman and you bring her in, you marry her, and the whole nation was geared, the Ummah was geared to have her converted. This is the setup, the Muslim state. The Muslim goes and marries a Christian woman or a Jewess of the Ahl al-Kitab, a virtuous woman, not a prostitute. Here, what you catching there? The bones that people eat and eat the meat and chew, throw the bones away, you make that into a garland and you bring it home to show gori like raya, gori. Yeah, this is that woman, that German woman. Maybe the first man who ever touched her, or 100 had gone in through her before. Huh? That German woman. She allowed you to handle her, to do everything to her, and you felt that this is very nice and easy, you know, so well prepared, you know, already trained, and you fell for it. I said, you fool, what are you bringing? All the stuff that is... The rejects of the West, you tying, making garland around your neck. You see, they tell us that the American woman, the average American woman, before she marries, more than half a dozen men have experienced her. She has experienced more than half a dozen men. And you go along, I'm in the queue, and you go and pick it up and you bring it home. So you can boast, Gori lekar aaya, Gori, white woman. Allah tells you, muhsinat, virtuous women. Then, the community is geared. As soon as my son brings a Christian woman, I want to convert her. My wife wants to convert her. Her brother-in-law, sister-in-law, the neighbors, everybody wants to convert her. That was the Muslims of the time, when permission is given. Today, we are living in the 20th century. My son will tell me, Daddy, mind your own business. She is my choice. I chose her. Mommy, keep out of it. And it is so. So it is my business, it is your business to see that I don't fall into the mire. Your business, my business to see, to save you from falling into the pit. But today is not so. Then as soon as you marry her, you bring her home and the marriage doesn't work. It is between Gujarati and Gujarati marriages fail. Between Tamil and Tamil marriages fail. Between one from one culture and another, more chances of the marriage failing. And when it fails, with your little Muhammad and your Fatima and your Khadijas, where will she go? Back to her people. And her people, her aunties, her grannies are going to church. And your little Muhammad and your Fatima and Khadija are also going to church. They're getting Christianized. We have lost thousands like that, hundreds of thousands. You fools, I said, don't tempt providence. When Allah gives you permission, you know it's that you are a man. You are not a man anymore. You have, there's no manliness left in you. You are an emasculated person. Almost all of us are. Amazing situation, you know. You know, in Urdu, one of our great poets, he said it beautifully. I don't know whether I'll be able to translate it after I'll ask my brother to translate it.
Kisak Sheikh Sahib bhi to parde ke koi hani nahi. Sheikh Sahib bhi to parde ke koi hani nahi. Muft mein college ke ladke unse badzan ho gaye. Waaz mein farma diya kal aapne ye saaf saaf. Parda aakhir kisse ho jab mard hi zan ho gaye. Translate it for me. Says, for no reason whatsoever, the college students have become the enemies of the Maulvi Sahib, you know, the Sheikh, because he is no more telling people or the women to make parda. But yesterday he made it very clear in the mosque. He says that how can I preach parda to the males when the males themselves have become females? Merciful kind. I says, even your mother loves you, loves a little child, and at times gives the child bitter medicine. You know that? Why? The mother hates a little child. When I was in Pakistan about 35, 40 years ago, my daughter of about 6 years old, she had a burst appendix. Appendix burst. And every few hours she was getting injections to neutralize that poison inside, every couple of hours. And painful. And those days, you know, the needles were also not like this nice, fine, refined things that you get today. Big needles and while the doctor, the nurse is coming, she cries like anything. We, mother and the father, my wife and me, we show a smiling face. No, my child, you know, don't cry. You're showing a broad, smiling face. We know what's happening to us. Oh, we hate our child. No, allowing her to be injected every 2 hours. What you are going through, but you show a smiling face. I hate my child. No. You see, hell, according to Muslim tradition, there is a tradition that says, hell is like your mother. It is a place of purification, like a hospital. A hospital. There are wards and wards in hospital. There is cancer treatment, you know, treatment for cancer, radium. Radiant treatment, you burn, it's actually you burning the person. All the cells, you're burning them up because you hate them, you hate the patient. People suffer from different sicknesses, painful treatments, Allah, painful treatments. And they howl in the hospitals. You go there, different wards and see what's going on. These nurses, they hate you. The hospital people, they organize this hospital, spend millions to hate you, to punish you, to torture you. No, hell is like your mother. It is a place of purification, and purification is painful. If you are dirty, the more warped you are, to straighten you, more painful. So, this is, if the Christian is talking, he says, look, this is what Jesus is talking about. That there will be, what's this, tearing and gnashing of teeth, Jesus says. So who are you talking to? Who is this person who's talking? Christian, this is what Jesus said. He said, it is better for you to cast out your eyes. If your eye offend you, he says, take it out and throw it away. If your arm offends you, he says, cut it off. He says, rather you cut it off your arm, than that this you go to hell with this full body of yours. Rather go minus your arm, minus your eye, minus your ears. That's what Jesus said. So what are you talking about? Every religion tells you that there is a place of punishment and there is a place of reward. Place of reward, we say, is heaven. Place of punishment is hell. But hell is not that God is wanting to torture you, he's getting pleasure out of you. He's telling you in the Quran. So what is it to me that I should put you in hell?
What is that to him? Is it pleasure for him? Is he a sadist? He's getting pleasure out of your suffering and your burning? No, no. This is to help you to keep yourself away from that dreadful place. Keep yourself away. He's warning you. For your benefit, you will be in hell in this world and in the hereafter. To save yourself, listen to his laws and commandments. You have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry. You have every need to worry if you are going to start breaking his rules and commandments. But hell is no place, is no joke, and it is no sadistic place for somebody like Almighty getting pleasure out of your punishment. He is merciful, and the merciful God gives you treatment to purify you.
You have been enjoying a very useful evening. The lecture has been very enlightening, rewarding, and I'm sure all of you are very blessed by listening to Mother Lila. But that is not the main purpose of this lecture. I would like to pose a question to ourselves and to our brothers and sisters here. What is it that we are going to do next? Because as things are, the Muslims of Islam are not going to have a good time. Today, nature has been recognized as a speech or a talk on Islam purely because the rate of officials remove the existence of terrorism to carry as one of the reasons for this. This I am mentioning to my associate who feel that everything is fine in our Muslim community. And prior to this, some of our Christians have been ordered to strike in the Lagos. Dear others, you know how to crowd the Bible or the universe of the Bible anymore for you to know that this can be made. After Jesus has done the job for us, his little booklet, which he has requested us to publish, and I wish our brothers will help us not only to read the picture, but to translate it into Tamil and Sinhala. So that every Muslim home should have a copy of it, because all of us are aware how the Jawaan Muslims are looking at our own. Commonly spread that the center has been funded by foreign agencies. Not that it really matters us as to who is funding us or who is not funding us, or I don't know if it all matters that who is helping us and who is not helping us, as long as the sources are allowed and our activities are within the whole of Islam. But for me, God is marvelous. Give me a chance and inquisitive when you know what. I would like to mention that we have not received a cent from any foreign government or any foreign agency up to now. Our brothers and sisters are welcome wherever, and I am sure that they will continue to help us in our activities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all things and guide us in the right path. May Allah grant Uncle Diya a long life and a healthy life in his service to Islam. May Allah grant us the wisdom and the courage to carry on our Islamic activities unhindered. Dear brothers, tomorrow's meeting will be the last meeting. Uncle Vita will be leaving to Bombay on Saturday. Tomorrow there will be at the Baptist Mission Hall, and the topic is mission, Muslims and the mission, missionary mass. Again, each advertisement will be used by the Lagos. So all advertisements will appear at the top.